The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Meyer.
Welcome to the show. It's 11 minutes after 6 on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. And first hour, especially if you've heard a good one, something which is on your mind, go ahead and check in. 770-5633, 770-KMED. My email, Bill, at BillMeyerShow.com. And the Facebook.com/BillMeyerShow feed is up. We're still having some security issues, some certification issues with KMED.com. You might be having trouble getting to that. Now, my podcast, though, hosted via OregonEDeals.com. You just head to BillMeyerShow.com and you can still download the podcast there. The high-tech folks are working on that, and hopefully we will get that back up sooner rather than later. A lot of people writing me about that. But we are aware of what is going on, and sometimes the high-tech gods smile on you. Other times they frown, and there's much sadness. And then you must scatter. You must get your forces together and go to war, I guess. All right. Join in 770-5633. I wanted to touch on some of the headlines that we have going on this morning. We had yesterday a wild chase on Table Rock Road, apparently, 6,000 block of Table Rock Road yesterday. And there were parts of Table Rock Road that were closed yesterday for a while. They had a high-risk traffic stop. And then I ended up getting in touch with Jackson County Sheriff's, ended up putting out a release, and I was looking at that and reported on some of that on Facebook yesterday. But what had happened is that Jackson County Sheriff's deputies and U.S. Marshals were looking for this suspect. And this suspect, bad dude, and I'm assuming it's a dude they didn't even say, but I will just assume it is a dude with 15 nationwide extraditable warrants. He was wanted for child sex abuse, and so he was also involved, allegedly, with a domestic violence issue a few days ago back on the 16th. And so, anyway, this happened on Orr Drive, rural Central Point, you know, northern part of Table Rock Road. So he menaced the woman there with a firearm. Well, anyway, the marshals, Jackson County sheriffs, they ended up figuring out where this guy was. And they went over there yesterday afternoon about 2 o'clock, try to take him in. And then he took off and there was a high-speed chase for a bit. And they did a dangerous traffic stop. They call it a high-risk traffic stop. I don't know if that's a pit maneuver or whatever they did. And then about 2:15, said alleged dirtbag ended his life, ended his own life, actually. And that's the way it's looking like he committed suicide with a firearm there. So he didn't want to be taken in. But he was wanted out of California, 15 child sex abuse charges. And I just wanted to say good going, Jackson County Sheriffs and also U.S. Marshals. Glad you were up on this. And I'm glad that nobody else other than alleged dirtbag ended up dying in this situation. But yeah, boy, 15. You imagine there are 15 child sex warrants in California, of all places, for this this person. He was a pretty, pretty bad dude. And like I said, I know I am assuming that is a dude, but most likely child sex warrant out of California 15 times, probably male. They weren't very specific about that, okay? Some of the other news going on this morning, state releasing unemployment statistics for Southern Oregon, and it's kind of a mixed bag. I sign up for the economic overview in the labor market. For employment department ends up sending me some of this stuff, and it makes it for interesting reading where you see where economies are going in Jackson and Josephine County. Unemployment rate, Jackson County is about 6.1%, and it's interesting to see which sectors of the economy are doing better and which ones are not. Now, the biggest gainers in Jackson County, 670 jobs gained in private education, so private school and health services. Private education and health services, that was the big winner. Now, of course, health services also could mean, I don't know, hiring temporary nurses over at Providence. I don't know. It's why you have to kind of look at these statistics and think about them more deeply. Now, trade, transportation, utilities gained about 310, about 90 miners, loggers, construction people hired, and a bunch of other services. What's also interesting, though, is to seeing what ends up going down. We lost jobs in information, manufacturing, financial activities. 120 government people, they're gone. I don't know if that has anything to do with DOGE or not. This could be, I think these are January statistics or maybe February. It could be, We could be looking at some of this. Leisure and hospitality down 160. Professional and business services down around 300, okay? So there we go, some winners and losers there. Josephine County, it's a bit of a darker picture in the employment issue. And this doesn't really surprise me. And you heard what Josephine County commissioners have had to be putting up with. I've been talking about this with former Commissioner Bertschiger about this. And they have offered several buyouts for some of the county workers because they know that budgets are going to be tight there. And the gravy train, you know, federal gravy train, a lot of grant stream funding, gravy train's kind of over. And so they've been offering buyouts for several of their workers. Meanwhile, City of Grants Pass has been talking about, raising, I guess they wanted to give a raise of close to $60,000 for the city manager. Really? Wow. I know there's been inflation, but they put that on hold for the time being. I'm not exactly sure what the thought process is. I might have to invite the mayor on about that. That sounds like an awfully big boost, but is it? Well, maybe it's that tough trying to compete to retain people. But the unemployment rate in Josephine County, a little bit higher than Jackson. It's 7.4%. The big gainers there, 260 in leisure and hospitality. So it's like hotel, motel workers and, I don't know, could be guides, that sort of thing. Government, oddly enough, gained 80. Now, the losers in Josephine County, they've lost 110 manufacturing jobs. Over 100 trade, transportation, utilities, professional business services down, financial activities too, private education, and health services down. So down in Josephine County, but private education gaining in Jackson County. Now, I know they're kind of broad-based statistics. It's hard to get granular unless you have one of those PhD types and you dig into the statistics. But I think the overview is kind of interesting on where we find ourselves going on, all right? Now, tonight, there's going to be another Medford 549C school board meeting. This is the first meeting that has been occurred ever since Brett Champion said that he was throwing in the towel and going to quit. And apparently, they'll be talking about the continuing demolition of the North Medford High School gym after, remember, it collapsed from the snow. So they'll be talking about that. And the dramatic part will probably have to do with a complaint against Cynthia Wright, the board chair. Of course, that was filed by Michael Williams. And of course, Michael Williams has found himself in hot water with the board there, too. So there's a lot of arrows flying back and forth. That might be something worthy of watching if you were interested in that. Another interesting story that I did not know. I'm not a hunter, and I don't normally pay a lot of attention to hunters. But there was something I was reading the other day. That Oregon is now starting to crack down on hunters using thermal imaging cameras. I didn't know they were doing that. But I guess it makes sense. You know, the night vision glasses and the thermal imaging, you can tell if something is warm. But apparently there were various hunters that will go out there from time to time, and they will hunt with a thermal imaging camera. And so they're able to see the deer hiding in the brush. And then they shoot the deer, and that's considered a big no-no. I can understand why. Let's face it, you're not hunting, you're cheating, as far as I'm concerned. But this has been a big deal, and now they're starting to get the game wardens out there, or the agents, to crack down more on these. And we're seeing more of them because the thermal imaging cameras are a lot cheaper. They used to be really expensive, kind of like military-grade things. You'd have to spend $2,000, $3,000 for a good thermal imaging camera. And now you can get them for about $200. And so you get all these, the Nimrods in the news, as Mark Lee Van Camp and Robin would say, going out there with their $200 cameras. And then if they find that, they find you with one of those. I guess they bust it, they take it away, and they're talking in there about how there were there was one group of 14 hunters that one of the agents went into one time. And, if one person has the camera, everybody's considered to be using it. So everyone's in trouble. So leave the thermal imaging cameras at home. Okay, there we go. It's 20 minutes after 6, and we'll noodle around with some more of the news here, too, on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. We got some great Conspiracy Theory Thursday guests. John West is going to join me. He's from the Discovery Institute. And John has a very thought-provoking book out there, and it is entitled Stockholm Syndrome Christianity. And he posits that one of the biggest challenges that we have in our culture these days is that the church is very weak, church is very mushy, and not really providing a lot of moral guidance. And then we wonder why, you know, frankly, people think it's okay to cheat using a thermal imaging camera to hunt. No, John West doesn't specifically do that, but it is a part of an overall cultural corrosion. But we'll talk with John. Should be interesting. Now, it's John West, the author, not John West, the former Josephine County Commissioner, okay? They just share the same name, all right? Jack Cashel, who puts the conspiracy in conspiracy theory. I love talking to this guy. He has a Substack, which I just love. It's Jack Cashel on Substack. And he's the one that wrote the book a number of years ago that first introduced me to him. That was a TWA Flight 800. And TWA 800, and he brought the goods here. You know, that whole CIA explanation. Yeah, there was the spark in the gas tank, and it blew the front of the nose off. And then the plane went up in the air for a while after the nose blew off, which is like no airplane ever. No airplane gets its nose blown off and then climbs. You know, it's just all sorts of nonsense that we would get from our conspiracy theory feeding government. But we're not going to talk with him about TWA 800 today, but we are going to be talking about the George Floyd autopsy report, the railroading of the officer involved in this, which is, I think people just wanted to forget about this, but I think it's important that we don't. He's been doing some great journalism on this. And also how the people involved with the George Floyd autopsy were involved in screwing with the autopsy or the medical report of Officer Sicknick, the one who ended up dying a day after January 6th. But remember how there was this big push? Oh, he was hit in the head with a fire extinguisher, and yet the video showed, you know, later, once the video started coming out, that he was walking around the Capitol buildings, you know, perfectly fine. Just so many lies, so many conspiracies, and Jack's going to help us out on that. We'll kick it all around. I think it should be pretty darn good stuff. 623 at KMED and 99.3 KBXG.
Joel here.
106.3 KMED.
Hi, I'm Steve Potter, body shop manager of Lithia Body and Paint, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
25 after 6, it is open phones for the first hour of Conspiracy Theory Thursday. If you've heard a good one, I'm happy to take your call. All right. A judge has halted the Trump order removing the trans individuals from the military. Wow. I didn't realize that we now have judges, federal judges, black robe bandits, who are commanders in chief. They are co-commander in chiefs. Absolutely amazing. Federal judge appointed by former President Joe Biden, blocking President Donald Trump's executive order banning transgender people from serving. U.S. District Judge Anna Reyes in Washington issuing the injunction barring the Pentagon from enforcing Trump's order, which asserted expressing a false gender identity divergent from an individual's sex cannot satisfy the rigorous standards necessary for military service. Now, the order issued, by the way, updated medical standards for military service and pronoun policies. In other words, they were saying, okay, you have gender dysphoria, that's perfectly okay. We'll help treat you for a little bit, but then you're not really eligible for serving. We figure if you have this kind of a mental problem, chances are we don't want you in charge or involved in military service. Now, these rules were changed by the Biden administration. I find it fascinating that the rule changed by the Biden administration is perfectly okay, but to change the rule back is somehow illegal. Hopefully this gets trounced and gets trounced quickly. I don't know. It almost feels like with the Trump administration these days, isn't it like death of 1,000 cuts, a thousand legal cuts? And I know that I'm going. This is controversial for some people, but I'm at least going to raise the issue. Should Trump just defy them? When you have something coming down from a federal judge who has no article constitutionally enumerated power to control the military, none whatsoever, and then she or he gasses off about something like this, and then a perfectly reasonable restoration of sanity to the military, which has arguably been getting crazier over the years between the pronouns and the DEI programs there. This is totally the purview of the president, isn't it? When you have situations like this, shouldn't you just defy them? I know that makes a lot of people comfortable. But when they have no business getting involved in your business, I'd be okay with the president instead of coming out there. Now, see, they're all trying to come out there and talk about the Trump administration. Well, we don't want it to look like a dictatorship. Well, no, it's not a dictatorship. The fact of the matter is, I have the article power in the Constitution, and it says that I'm the one in charge of the military, not the judge in the D.C. Circuit. You know, that kind of thing. And it seems, and I know that I'll see people on both sides as, Bill, we're the party of following the rule of law. All right. Are we going to be the party following the rule of law when we have judges that declare Measure 114 that requires you to get a permit to actually use your constitutional right to keep and bear arms, to get a permit, but that you have to take a class that's not available in order to get a permit to just be allowed to purchase a gun, but it doesn't help you purchase a gun, and there's no limitations and all this kind of stuff. I mean, are Republicans and conservatives and independents and good-thinking people just going to say, well, I'm sorry, the judge said no? I mean, it's a serious question. I think we've come up to this point that when you see the immune, you know, essentially what we're seeing right now is the immune system of the blob just doing everything it possibly can to lash out. I don't like the idea of having to defy judges. But when you reach a lawless period in your nation's history, in which you have power vested in the president or power vested in the Congress, and it is continually thwarted by one ideological portion of the judiciary, at what point don't you have the duty? I mean, don't you have the duty almost to defy it? To defy lawlessness. The law says one thing, and the black robe bandit will invert it into something completely different. It doesn't cheer me to say defy it. But when it comes right down to it, don't you have to? To sit there and kowtow to a judiciary that is arguably out of control, completely out of control. Now, I know that I've just marked myself as you're an irresponsible tyrant. You're sitting there kissing the butt of Trump. No, there's a lot of things Donald Trump does I do not like, and I wish could have been done differently. Okay, so I'm not a lick spittle. The people elected the president. The people elected the president for a certain number of policies to be put in place, including restoring America's military and making it the actual Department of Defense instead of the, you know, Department of Transgender Surgeries Enabling Incorporated. Who serves in the military? Nobody has the right to serve in the military. It's been made very clear from the start. Height, weight, all sorts of other physical requirements. Of course, they have been watered down a bit. Trump administration wants to smarten those up and tighten those things up again. And then we have a black robe bandit that says, no, you can't do that. It's like, how dare you? I want to use like the Greta Thunberg thing. How dare you, judge? There is nothing in your power that says that you control the military or who gets hired to be in the military. Nothing. What would you do? 770-5633. We can talk about that and other things on your mind. It is Conspiracy Theory Thursday, after all. Let me go to line one. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Hello?
All right. Hang on just a second.
I think we're having a little trouble there. You still there, caller? Go ahead.
I'm there.
Okay, yes, good. Hello. All right, yeah, I had a button that was out for some reason. Anyway, what's going on, Steve?
Standing. It, you know, in a lot of the cases, especially having to do with Oregon and cases especially about gun rights, they always throw standing up as a reason that they can't even hear the case. So I don't know exactly how it would apply, but don't you think that a district court judge has no standing in the operation of the government of the United States?
Well, I don't think that the judge ended up creating. I mean, he may have created the order, but I'm sure there are other people that filed the appeal to it, like an ACLU type sort of thing. And so the judge just ended up saying, well, yeah, this is what's going on. The judge just didn't do it on her own, I don't think.
Well, it sort of appears that that's the case. The general practice in these kinds of situations is the judge will issue a written order. So far, many of these judicial orders have been verbal. They're not written down. They didn't, they didn't do the
well,
legal.
Well, remember the order the other day that that President Trump was sideways with, the judge, the Bush-era judge that was appointed by the George Bush administration, the one about sending back the Trinidad Agave places, guys back to Venezuela or down south. You know, that that one was brought by the ACLU, ended up bringing that suit, that argument.
Yeah, but who was the person withstanding? That's what they always argue when there's a...
Well, standing is something that I think they use when they don't want to rule on something. That's all it is, too.
Well, yeah.
It's discretion, and I think it's total BS. But, I mean, I will agree with your point on that. Thanks for the call, Steve. 770-5633. Let me go to next line. Hi, good morning. This is Bill. Who's this?
Yeah, good morning, Bill. This is Terry.
Hi, Terry. What's on your mind?
Hi there. Good morning. Did you see those statistics where it said where, like, Obama and Biden only had, like, six or whatever injunctions a year, and Trump's already... a year, and Trump's already surpassed that easily. Why didn't the Republicans use the same tactics against them on some of the stuff he passed? Why aren't they doing that or haven't done that?
I think partly they know that they don't own the judiciary. I think that's part of it.
Well, they can still shop, right? I mean, get a judge in Texas, get a judge in Florida. Why don't they shop like the Democrats do?
Well, part of it is that when you present yourself as the... as the party of law and order, engaging in lawfare is usually not considered part of the law and order point of view. I think, and the other thing, Terry, think about it. Conservatives. When conservatives are fighting evil, they will tend to take a conservative point of view, which means not as going to the mat as much as the Democrats. The Democrats are more of the true believer in that system. Does that make sense?
It does, but hopefully, you know, we're learning that we need to change our tactics, and we are. That's why we're winning more and more. But
and I don't like to ask the question, but I'm going to. Do you think President Trump should just defy the courts that are needling him?
You know, I'd let it roll a little bit longer to see what actually pans out, but I'd let it roll for now until the Supreme Court chimes in, which hopefully they do fairly quickly.
Okay. All right, Terry, appreciate the call. 770-5633. We're talking the courts, Trump, Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
This is Randy.
Hi, Randy. What are you thinking?
I think in the case of the military, the president has every right to just blow it off. If you recall, the Supreme Court told Joe Biden that he couldn't cancel the student debts.
That's right.
And he did it anyway. He just blew off the Supreme Court. So why not?
So we have ignoring the court's order then, right?
Well, especially a lower court. But, yeah, I mean, as you pointed out, I don't think the judge has standing, whatever that means.
I mean, it's just a plain letter reading of the Constitution. People would look at all this power.
Exactly.
I mean, Congress funds it. And then it's really up to the president as commander in chief to determine standards and get the right people in there and decide, you know, how it gets done. And that's just it. Nothing about the judiciary weighs in on something like that.
Exactly. I think it's the judge, that whole order is moot. It has no authority. no weight whatsoever, and it shouldn't even have to go to the Supreme Court.
Why do you think that they're saying, though, well, we're not going to defy this order, or we'll take a wait and see? Is it just playing the game? Or, you know, there's just a part of me that says that if you don't just openly defy it after a while, then they're going to continue to use it and make your administration dead by 1,000 legal cuts.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he needs to just say, you don't have the authority to do that, and move on. Mm-hmm. And let the judge take it to the Supreme Court and say, hey, you know, I made this ruling and they're not abiding by it. And the Supreme Court, if they have, well, I don't know. That's a real wild card there.
And the Supreme Court is no guarantee for the Trump administration either. You know, between Coney Barrett and John Roberts. You know, like John Roberts, as an example, when he was criticizing President Trump for his criticizing of the judge's decision, in my opinion, the judge then enters the political realm, and you're worthy of getting any kind of criticism that you want to throw at someone, in my opinion.
Absolutely. It's free speech, right?
Yep. That's what one would think. Appreciate the call. Hey, if you are on hold, I'll get right to you after news. It'll just be a couple of minutes, okay? 770-5633. We have an open line here, too. On Conspiracy Theory Thursday, Trump in the courts and more in you.
March is the biggest sales month here at Plan Z. Hi, this is Zola from PlanZDiet.com. Why not January? Well, in January, the people who start a diet usually start the cheap or the easy.
Services.com.
You're hearing the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
6:43. Death of 1,000 cuts of the Trump administration is what kind of got me irritated this morning. And the question that I am posing, I know it sounds really uncomfortable, but shouldn't President Trump just defy certain of these orders in which constitutional authority clearly rests with him and not with the judiciary, as in who gets to serve in the U.S. military? That's all under Trump's purview. Not federal judges. Just isn't. Just like former President Biden ended up changing the rules, saying, hey, it's all right, come in here, we'll do your transgender surgery, and we'll allow 400-pound transgender surgeries affected soldiers to serve, even though they're not serving. He's allowed to do that, and you couldn't really stop him unless you just defunded it through Congress, that sort of thing. Well, President Trump can then say, no, we want real soldiers that can go out there and fight and break things and who are available for deployment. That sort of thing. That's what this is all about. And the take from the Trump administration is that you have gender dysphoria, you have a bit of a mental illness, hence we're not going to put you into the military. And, you know, hey, you're here, go get some treatment, but then you will not be allowed to serve. We're going to discharge you. To me, that is perfectly in line with the president's article power in the Constitution. We can talk about that, 770-5633. Let me go to Michael. Hello, Michael Shaw. Good to have you on here, Conspiracy Theory Thursday.
Good morning. Two topics real quick. In the military, there is a clause in the contract that you sign when you enter the military that says you maintain fitness for duty. If you're not fit for duty, then you are discharged. It happened back when I served and everybody else who served. We agreed that we were going to stay physically fit to be able to go fight and do our duty. If you're not able to do your duty, they discharge you. They did it back in the 70s when I was in, you know, for alcoholism and drug abuse and other things along that line. So it's real simple. Those are the military laws that have to be abided by. It's very simple. You don't even need a presidential order to get rid of them. It's already there.
You're not available for duty. Have a nice day. Hey, we're really sorry about your gender dysphoria and your confusion, but your confusion and your problem is not the military's problem.
Right.
Okay.
So, I mean, if you were overweight, they put you on a diet and a fitness program that you had to hit certain benchmarks and certain dates. Otherwise, you were discharged. As simple as that.
Okay.
So that's on the military side. On the court issues, it is quickly, more fast than I thought it was going to be, it is quickly reaching the point where we're going to have to decide if this is going to be a singular country or if it needs to be divided. This is something we've discussed off and on for years, but it is reaching a point where there are some decisions that are going to have to be made by many states that are being, excuse the expression, screwed over by lawfare. It just can't keep continuing. People are going to say, I'm done. We're out of here.
And that the only way will be a peaceful dissolution of the country to some extent? Is that what you're saying?
You hope it would be peaceful, but the reality is it probably won't be, because those who want to keep the status quo of their beneficiary actions are not going to allow it. They're not going to want it. But it's getting there, and that's the fearful part that I have, is it one country, is it two countries, or is it going to break apart and be five or six different countries?
Well, yeah, and what I've been wanting to, what I've talked about for a while here is, what really unites the United States of America other than just a tyrant force at this point in time, when you think about it? And we're just arguing about which tyrant, you know, gets to bosses all around, I guess. Which version of tyrant?
I think you and I had discussed quite a number of years ago that the average country stability is about a 200-year cycle or so. Didn't we talk about that?
Yeah, we're past the sell-by date, aren't we?
We are. Yeah. I mean, we're heading, 250 years here, and it's now reached a point where there are millions or tens of millions of people within this country who are not going to tolerate it much longer.
And you can see, though, how the administrative state, the rise of the administrative state, what we think of as the permanent deep state that doesn't care who's elected, I almost wonder if that was brought to bear or brought into existence in order to kind of make it, the autopilot government. Well, we're all going to be united by having our neck under that boot for all these years. And don't you wonder sometimes if that was part of the purpose of it, in which we're not worried about the politicians changing things because, after all, well, we have judges and we have the administrators.
Right. Well, being born in the 50s and being a child in the 60s and the 70s and, that whole era of things, there were, real uprisings by what we'll call the hippie generation of my youth, and the protests against, Vietnam and everything that occurred at that point. There was real possibility of the country breaking apart at that point.
All right. Appreciate the call, Michael. 770-5633. Appreciate the thoughtfulness on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Hello, Ron. Go ahead.
Good morning. Allow me a minute to lay out the problem regarding gun control and a solution.
Okay.
First off, the two constitutions, the U.S. and the state, allow Second Amendment protection against infringement.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, the state legislatures and the judicial systems are violating the people's right of standing, since the Constitution gives us that right. Thirdly, we have the right to defend ourselves, and that should fall back to the sheriffs and the state police, because they have sworn to protect and defend the Constitution, which is the Second Amendment, which is our right of standing.
All right. So then when it comes to the gun control issues, such as House Bill 3075, Measure 114, et cetera, then how does the sheriff affect that? Because the one thing I would mention to you is that the sheriff can do many things and stop the enforcing of certain laws, but you know what he can't do, what he couldn't do? He cannot force a gun dealer to do a transfer. And see, this is where they're very smart about it. They'll just make it next to impossible to and purchase and or transfer legally, that sort of thing. How would you reflect on that?
Well, I still go back to the standing issue, that that sheriff and or state police do not follow through with the transfer effort.
Yeah, well, except they have no involvement in that when it comes to the federal firearms, the FFA laws that have the BATFE laws. They have no
but the state laws. They do. They're denying approval of people transfers of firearms from firearms.
I get it. But remember, when you get a background check in the state of Oregon, you go through the state of Oregon. You're not going through the federal government because the state of Oregon, I think this is the reason why they ended up doing the background check rather than the FBI.
Because the background check is wrong to begin with, and the state legislature should go into denial of a quorum in order to stop this, because they also took an oath of office to protect the people's rights.
Now, on that part, I agree with you. Yeah. And Kevin Starrett's right when he says if these gun control bills end up moving forward there, it's because they're present, the Republicans, because we know what the Democrats will do. Appreciate the call there, Ron. Let me go to Deplorable Patrick. Hey, DP, how you doing?
Yeah, Kevin Starrett's a national treasure here. On these judges, the term that comes to mind that I've heard, I'm not an expert on it, but is two of them, coming under color of law. In other words, representing that something's illegal, it's not.
So it looks like what they're doing is a proper legal procedure then, under color of law, not real law.
And the second thing is interfering with the operation of government. Isn't that what they're doing?
Gosh, isn't that the same? Gosh, that reminds me, it's kind of the same thing that they were using that Enron-era bill to go after all the J6 protesters. You know, use it on the judiciary, right? Hey, you're interfering with a government function. Okay, that kind of thing.
These judges should not be just reprimanded, but they should be removed for this.
Well, to do that, though, it's a high bar. You know that. It's impeachment. And impeachment would require the House to get involved and also two-thirds vote in the Senate. Do you think you have two-thirds vote in the Senate to do that on a lot of these?
You're right to bring that up. I haven't thought it through as far as you have, but I only get to call in once, so I'm this thing about the church being weak. Yes, the church is weak. I've been a Christian 55 years. I do not attend church. These pastors are weak, and then if you look in 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4, Paul foretold that the church would not endure strong doctrine in the future, but they'd be turned to fables. Fables like Easter. Easter is not in the Bible. What are we going to do? Oh, we're going to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. Let's have an Easter egg hunt. Does that make any sense to you?
Well, I think the symbolism, of course, the egg was of renewed life. I think that was part of it. But I don't know what the origin of the actual Easter holiday is. You know, a lot of the holidays we celebrated were kind of a merger of the pagan and the Christian, too, at the time, as you recall, because you had the emperors trying to do their thing and knit their diverse groups together in their various countries, right? That kind of thing going on.
And we should reject that. And what does 8 tiny reindeer have to do with the birth of Christ?
It doesn't. I know.
If we would reject this stuff, the church would be stronger. God would really appreciate it if we would reject these foolish fables and the paganism. So this is why I just stay out of these churches. I'm not even going to bother.
I'll bet you're a big fan of those prosperity preachers out there too, right?
Oh, good. Those clowns, you talking about Joel Osteen, are you?
Spreading the word to millions, millions by return mail. There we go. How about that?
Jimmy Swaggart's up there finally been tears confessing that he's been unfaithful. And yeah, he was a minister. Remember that?
Yeah, I do. I remember it well. Thanks, DP. 770-5633. If you're on hold, I'll be right with you. You're on the Bill Meyer Show, Conspiracy Theory Thursday. And yeah, we will be talking about the weakness of the church. John West will be joining me from the Discovery Institute.
Siskiyou Pump Service and Rotary Drilling Company have a special offer at the Southern Oregon Home Show. Good morning. This is News Talk 106.3 KMED. And you're waking up with the Bill Meyer Show.
6:58, this is KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass. John West from the Discovery Institute joins me in a few minutes, and he's written a book that is pretty thought-provoking. It's called Stockholm Syndrome Christianity. And, you know, I haven't even talked to him yet, and people are weighing in on that. And David, having to do with the weakness of the church, the lack of muscularity and decline of culture, I think is where John is coming from on this one. Any thoughts on that? You wanted to concur or disagree? What do you think?
Thanks, Bill. I think we're always like evolving as a people, and so I think we're at a massive separation away from the mainstream Christianity. And the thing about it is, you know, Christianity has, I won't say what I believe or don't believe. I'll say what I know. I know I came from somewhere, but, you know, the thing about Christianity is it's really been overwhelming, and it makes you surrender the intellect. If you ask anyone, you know, if believing in Jesus gives you self-control, at the end of the day, they're going to ultimately say that they don't. And so this is a major intellectual problem, is that, you know, you're giving part of your being to this movement, to this belief set, and you don't receive back a very basic thing, which that ostensibly you could be given, which is self-control.
Could you not say that, though, about practically any religion or cult-like belief, or, you know, any kind of belief system, really?
Well, through consciousness and awareness, you attain self-control and you stop, quote-unquote, sinning. Because any Christian sitting in church on Sunday, if you ask them, they do not want to sin, right? However, a tenet of Christianity is that you, again, you've heard it a million times, you can't stop sinning, right? You're born in sin. Sin is in your nature. And so you have to ask them. So you have to surrender your intellect to be a part of the Christian church. You have to say, well, yeah, you know, I...
What are you then implying that you have to turn your brain off to be a Christian? Is that what you're saying?
You have to surrender very deep parts of yourself to, quote unquote, believe the modern Christian dogma. You have to surrender massive parts of your sovereign intellect, and that is part of the control program. Yeah.
Okay. I guess we all surrender to some kind of belief system, do we not?
Well, I mean,
the cultural myth. Of course, even the cultural myth of perhaps we are the land of the free. How about that?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you're talking about ideological forces that take over our sovereignty. And that's why, you know, people do not, most people, I believe, do not operate truly free or of their quote unquote free will, because they're heavily influenced by these forces. Yeah, religion, and then the negative forces I've talked to you before about, you know, like depression, anxiety, lust, greed, right?
Yeah.
These forces all usurp free will. And so Christianity, the usurpation of the free will comes from surrendering your intellect. And
David, the devil is in your tongue this morning.
The devil's in my tongue?
As some will say that. I'm joshing you gently, okay?
Oh, yes. No, I know, and people react really emotionally and viscerally, you know, but the thing is, I believe the Jesus story. But also, like, English is very tricky, and I want to do a whole show with you sometime, Bill, about the word know versus the word believe. You know, believe is like giving weight to a story you've heard versus knowing.
Well, remember, though, a religious is like, it's, well, they call it faith, though. We call it faith.
Well, yes, but faith. So faith is, you hear a story and you act as though the story is true. That is not the same as knowing. Like, I know there's things in my heart that I know. I know about kindness, love. I know, and thankfully they're shored up by healthy archetypes that we grow, if you are lucky enough to grow up and see the healthy archetypes. But your instincts are all given to you by the Creator, and they can discern these things, and you can know things. But believing is like, hey, I've got a story, and I'd like you to act as if it's true. And if you don't act as if it's true, or say you surrender to the story, then you have something wrong with you. You haven't got Jesus in your heart.
I think that religion, mythology, even ideology to a certain extent, we're tribal people, right? We're tribal people, and we wish to get along with one another. And aren't belief systems kind of the glue that holds us together in some ways?
Well, Bill, let me tell you, I'll just tell everybody, you know, I'm starting a cult. I made no secret of it. And my cult is about love, forgiveness, consciousness, awareness, self-control, and freedom from all forces that usurp our individuality, because that's our only chance at seeing who we are as people, is to get free of everything. And that's media, it's religion, it's childhood trauma, it's all the programming that usurps us and takes over our free will. We have no idea. 99% of the people have no idea who they really are. They are just a sum product of things running them around.
That's an interesting statement. I'm going to take that and consult my pillow. All right, David? Thanks for the call.
All right.
All right. You know, that's why I love callers. You know, some of them are just like, huh? Huh? And then, you know, it'll bump around my bean here for a while, okay? All right, we'll check Town Hall News here in just a moment, and then we'll dig into the book.